I got to work across all of the compliance regs, requirements, privacy, and a lot of that touches on cybersecurity as well. As we know today, privacy, data privacy, protection of data, especially in financial services, there's a lot of regulation, a lot of compliance requirements. So that kind of taught me a lot of that. So I got to get different flavors from different industries and different companies.
This podcast is brought to you by Mercsec, the specialists in security, search, and recruitment solutions. Visit mercsec.com to connect today.
Welcome to Destination Cyber, the podcast where we sit down with cyber industry leaders and movers and shakers and find out what makes them tick. We explore their careers, the mistakes they made, trials and tribulations, lessons learnt, and the invaluable insights and knowledge they've picked up along the way. Now here's your host, Lachlan Korn.
Hi, I'm here with Tulin Sevkin. Tulin is a strategic thinker and cyber risk management specialist with experience in both private and public sectors. Tulin has held various positions within the Commonwealth Bank, Westpac and Optiver, for example. Whilst Tulin has had experience that spans a myriad of industries and disciplines, her current focus specializes in cyber risk management, including cyber risk threats, prevention, control, and assurance. I'm your host, Logan Korn, and this is Destination Cyber. Hello, Tulin. How are you going today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. I'm very excited to have this podcast episode with you. You've got a lot of things to talk about today. So why don't we get a start off straight off the bat? Can you give us, our audience, a bit of an outline about what you're currently doing now, what kind of responsibilities you have, any general projects, and give it a bit of an overview?
Yeah, of course. So I'm the director of our third-party risk management services here at UpGuard, and UpGuard is a software as a service company in cybersecurity, and we help our customers with protecting their data, with also looking at their third-party risks, obviously, and we do a lot of that via automated web scanning. We allow customers to send questionnaires to their vendors and assess them all through one platform and keep track of everything through one platform. So it's quite helpful for them. And my role at UpGuard is basically looking after our managed service. So where our customers may purchase UpGuard, they can also purchase the managed service, where our team here at UpGuard will assess all of their vendors on behalf of them on the criteria that they choose. And we have various different levels of services as well, which customers can pick from. And that's what I look after. I also do look after some of the product side of things when it comes to questionnaire content. So looking at our questionnaire library, my team and I own that, and we develop all of the content for that too. So that's what I do in a nutshell at UpGuard.
Okay, interesting. And in terms of the role that you kind of function in, which of course is a lot at this moment in time, just kind of wrap my head around it a little bit for someone who's not super sort of cyber tech oriented. Is that kind of like, isn't it an insurance in the sense that you analyze a client and then you provide them with the best suitable plan? Or is it more that they have the plan now and then you're doing it for preventative actions and measures?
Yeah, so basically how it works is the platform itself, generally speaking, is a self-service. So the customers can go in and they can look at their own kind of attack surface. They can manage all of their own risks. And then they've got the vendor risk side where they can add all of their vendors in there too. So there doesn't need to specifically be any kind of plan or anything like that that they would work on with us directly. A lot of our customers are happy to manage their vendors and their own profile on their own. But then we've got some customers who are obviously a lot larger, or some might have resourcing restraints where they would bring our team in to just help them with that vendor risk management side. And that's where we'll work with them on coming up with the best process, which will work for them internally. So something that can integrate well with the managed service and the platform. And we make sure that their vendor risk management framework is going to work for them and it aligns well with the managed service as well. That way they get the most out of it and they're not just like sitting around trying to figure things out and try to understand what they do with an assessment report once it's completed, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It does. It definitely does. It's obviously a very unique, I would say, a job and career that you've undertaken. What kind of sparked your interests in the field in the first place? How did it all start for you?
Yeah, I studied IT way back in uni, which feels like a very long time ago now. But yeah, I did IT, and then I was also working at the same time, and I had managed to secure a very interesting role back in Wollongong, which is where I went to uni and where I grew up. And it was at this company, and they did superannuation and investments, and I was in the e-business side. So we were developing the e-business, the e-platform, which was very like new and like new technology back then, and being able to manage your investments in super through one platform type of thing. And it all works really well, and it's supposed to integrate to everything. Obviously, it didn't work as well. We did try, and I guess back then it's you take on these huge projects and you try to do them. So that's what sparked my interest in technology, obviously studying it as well. But then getting into cybersecurity specifically, I think my interest in that started when I got a graduate position at Deloitte. And in my first couple of years, I was quickly brought onto a few interesting projects in the security team there. And so a lot of the stuff I did was more social engineering. So that's how I got my first taste of cybersecurity. We were working on a lot of different federal government and state government projects where we had to break into buildings. We had to tail people through doors and try to get as far as we could inside. We had to watch and see people's movements and their behaviors and whether anyone asked any questions of you, like who you are, where you're from, where's your access card, your ID card. So that was really cool. I got to do that all around the place, all around Sydney and also Canberra, which was quite interesting. So that was my kind of first step into it. And then from there, I grew this interest in security. Yeah.
Wow. So you mean you're talking about the sort of you're going physically into these businesses, you're basically trying to break in and then give those advice to the business about how they could improve their security?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty awesome job. You never thought you'd be like, yes, I have to go and break into these people's places and then I can do that as a job. You thought that's a robbery, but that's illegal. This is the legal robbery kind of thing. But no, it's really interesting. Okay.
That's right, yeah.
So going from there, where was the next stage? How did you navigate yourself to where you were today? Was there a goal in mind, or was it more just there's an opportunity, I'll take it, see what it's like, and then moving on? Or give me a bit of your thoughts.
Yeah, of course. So basically, like that was very early on in my career in the technology space. So I didn't really want to just jump into pure cybersecurity straight away. I did want to explore other options. So I did keep my options open. Like I was still working with the security team when I was at Deloitte, and I was also working in the tech risk team as well. So that was mostly consulting. There were some audits that I was also part of, which was quite cool. I even got to do some random stuff like software audits and like going to, it was out in Whoop Whoop somewhere in Sydney where like it was massive warehouses and like we had to go and we legitimately had to just walk around in the warehouse with like hi-vis on and this like scanner thing, and we had to do like a scan and do it almost like a stock audit of what they had in stock against what they had in their list in the system versus what was actually on the floor. And this was for, I think it was Jupiter Systems or something. Like it was insane. Mm-hmm. That was one of the most random jobs I think I've ever worked on at Deloitte. Uh-huh. And that's what I mean. I just did a vast variety of different types of projects, and it was quite interesting. So it gives you like a flavor and a taste of it all, which was cool. But after Deloitte, I left and I actually went into a really random industry. I went into high frequency trading and I was working as a technical engineer there. So, you know, it was more so share trading, how to make things extremely fast. We need to make it quicker. We need to get into the market quicker. It wasn't a huge deal there because they didn't have clients. So it was all internal. And I think that's where I picked up more so my knowledge around compliance and around risk management. And risk management within a company like that is very different to your normal stock standard financial risks. I was part of the team who built out a bunch of controls, and that was across globally. We had to build out like a panic button, for example, and a kill switch and design that and think of like the different floors and make sure it's protected and how can we make it if an issue happens in the market so we don't bleed money. We need to be able to push some button that then cancels all our orders from the market and then another button that will just pull and actually like a kill switch. It'll sever our connection to the market completely so that no rogue orders or nothing can go wrong that way. So I kind of got a different side of like business knowledge and business risk knowledge from there too. After that, I did go back into the tech risk space. So I decided to go back into fin services, more of the general. So I went to the big banks and that's where I got my flavor again of security, because security is obviously a big concern for financial services, particularly here in Australia. And I got to work across all of the compliance regs, requirements, privacy, and a lot of that touches on cybersecurity as well. As we know today, privacy, data privacy, protection of data, especially in financial services, there's a lot of regulation, a lot of compliance requirements. So that kind of taught me a lot of that. So I got to get different flavors from different industries and different companies, if that makes sense. And then from there, I think that's when I knew what I wanted to do. It was up until that point, I wasn't entirely sure which direction I wanted to go in. But it was after, when I was at Commonwealth Bank, I kind of figured out I think I know what I want to do now. And that's when I left Commonwealth Bank and I had a bit of a break for about 4 to 6 months, I think it was at the time. And I joined up forces with this small consulting company and started up their cybersecurity consulting there. So that was pretty cool. That was just before UpGuard. So, yeah.
Interesting. So you took almost like a slight detour through more of a business and finance side and then came back. And did that experience help with that transition? Or was it more just like, okay, that was something different and now I have reinforced what I wanted to really achieve and do?
Yeah, I think both. I think it's always good to get vast experience, because when you're young, especially when you're studying at uni and then you graduate, you don't know what's out. You have no idea. So it's easy saying, I want to do this. But when you actually start working in it, you just don't know. It might not be the right fit for you. And doing an internship for 4 weeks or 6 weeks sometimes doesn't give you the full kind of experience in that industry or in that particular role that you think you want to do. So I feel like it's always good to just get out there, do as much as you can, and then figure it out. There's not really a right or a wrong time for anything. And I feel like you can carve your way and you'll figure it out as you go along. There's no right or wrong direction at all. I see everything in the past that I've done and companies that I've worked at as, some of them, it's like, why did I make that decision? I could have done it. I could have picked something else, but it's still an experience and it's a learning curve. Maybe if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't have made the decisions that I did to get me to where I am. You got to kind of take everything as a learning experience rather than a failure or a mistake.
Okay. That makes sense. In terms of those mistakes or decisions where you're like, oh, maybe I should have gone in this direction, or maybe I should have picked up something else. And of course, that experience that you had was useful. But if you were, say, for example, giving advice to either a university student or a high school student or someone who, a young adult who was looking to get into a similar cyber risk kind of field, what kind of role should they be looking for to at least begin or get a good taste of what that career would be like?
Yeah, look, I would say try to aim for something, so a company that has like a graduate program almost. So, you know, the big banks here and even like consulting companies give you that opportunity where you're able to go around and do 3 or 4 months, or sometimes it's 6 months in a few different areas and a few different teams. And you get to also put down your preference of where you would like to go next. I think that helps a lot. When I was at Deloitte, there wasn't really that whole rotational thing with the graduate program, but there was opportunities to work cross-functionally in other teams if you wanted to and if you had obviously the time to do it. So that was quite nice, but you still had that kind of home team that you were in as a grad. So I would suggest doing something like that, especially if you're uncertain or you want to see what everything is like, it always helps. Like, I know the big banks have some pretty good graduate programs. Like, I've heard about the Westpac one, and like they have one where they do rotate you through all the different areas of IT, including like security team, pen testing team. So that'll give you like a taste in your mouth of what that's actually like. You actually get to talk to the people. You can be friends with them. You can be real with them. And you can see if, you know, it's not just about whether you can do the job, but it's also about whether you'll fit in with the team culture and whether you'll fit in with that kind of environment. Because it's like you might be good technically, but you might not fit in culturally, or it might just not be for you. You might not enjoy just sitting there and doing that the whole time. Maybe you like talking with customers. Like, maybe you like that client interaction, you like going out and you like social. I don't know. Everyone's different. I feel like if you do a grad position that allows you to move around and also get out of your comfort zone a little bit, you should definitely do it, and don't put all your eggs in one basket. So apply for different companies, different roles, because you never know. Like, my experience with that was when I was graduating, I probably went a bit too far with this one, with not putting all my eggs in one basket, but I applied for this job. It was a graduate role for an actuary. Mind you, no idea what a bloody actuary does. I had to Google it. And then I was like, oh, that makes sense. And I was like, I did like extension maths and stuff. Like, surely this isn't that difficult. Didn't even study mathematics at university, by the way, IT, like I said before. So I rock up to this interview, and I was surprised I even made it to the interview round. So I was already like shocked. And yeah, had a chat with them and it was great. And they like loved me, but they were like, yeah, you're pure at like IT focused, and that's what you talked about. That's what you enjoyed. You knew nothing really about actuary. And I was like, yeah, but you asked me for the interview. But that's what I mean. Like, you just don't know. Don't apply for things and get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Obviously, that's a bit one end of the spectrum. That's what I mean by when I say you never know what doors are going to open up for you. So you just got to take every opportunity, even if it's a discussion. You've got nothing to lose from that. It might not be an interview. It might just be you're going to have a chat with this person. But don't forget, you're making that connection and you're networking. And that's one of the most important things throughout your career.
No, that's very good advice. Very good advice, I would say. And with those sort of experiences, I think that people sometimes forget that it's not just one linear path. It's always just going and zigzagging and seeing what is there before. Then you can decide if you want to progress into something much more specialized or not specialized. And obviously, you must have had something going for you to be getting that interview. So I guess personal skills and all the rest, and you must have been good at maths at least, because all the actuaries, wow, that's impressive, honestly.
Mate, I'm just as shocked as you, honestly. I was like, how?
Yeah, why am I here again? Yeah, just, wow. So fair. How would you give advice to maybe perhaps would students who are studying non-IT backgrounds, non-cybersecurity backgrounds, would they have any place in cyber? Say, for example, that a student may listen to this podcast who's not really never thought of cybersecurity, never thought of that. Would that be something for them, or would you need to have a specific interest from the beginning and outset?
Yeah, look, I think it's always important to have a passion and have an interest, right? Because if you're interested in something or you're passionate about a certain topic, then you will succeed and you will do well in that area, because that's what will drive you to do better, and that's what will drive you to get more opportunities and look at what else you can do and how you can learn more. Like, cybersecurity, IT, like you need to learn constantly. It's a constant learning environment. Something new is happening every day. There's something new every week. So you need to make sure you keep up to date. You need to make sure you learn about it and you're reading about it and you're constantly just aware of what's going on around you. So if you're the type of person that is interested in that and you're passionate about it, then 100% you could definitely get into cybersecurity. For example, like, as I mentioned in the social engineering work that I was doing when I was at Deloitte, like, you have to think like a criminal, yeah? You've got to think like a criminal, pretend to be in one, put yourself in their shoes. How do they psychologically react to things? How would they act? What would they watch? when you're out, like when I was doing those jobs, like you would go and you sit and you might watch for a few hours. You might watch people. You might watch the security guard at the front. You might keep tabs on when he's taking breaks. You might make the most of that time when he's taking breaks. So you have to watch for patterns. You got to look for obvious little gaps that you could slip in and get things done. And that's exactly how like a hacker would think, how a criminal would think when they're doing anything. So for me, where I'm getting at with that is if you've studied psychology or you've got an interest in that too, this would 100% help in the cybersecurity industry. Mm-hmm. Companies are paying like social engineering companies to do these jobs where they're breaking in and they want them to act and think like a criminal because they want to close those gaps so that they don't steal, whether it's physical assets or their data. Someone who has that psych background even, or whatever other degrees it might be around, you know, psychology, that would help a lot in cybersecurity. So that's one example. The other one is even in finance, right, or insurance. If that's like your background and you like doing underwriting, you know, you might want to be a lawyer even, like you can study law and then you can specialize in cybersecurity. That's a huge gap at the moment in the market as well. Someone who understands all the various cybersecurity laws and regulations around the world. So not just in Australia, but also globally, because if you think about it, a lot of companies that operate here are not technically all Australian companies, like they are global as well. You definitely have an upper hand there too. So you can basically bring almost any skill into this environment, but you need to learn how to apply that skill in this environment. So you need to be able to learn and adapt and read and understand how your skills can fit into the cybersecurity industry.
No, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. How would you pitch a cyber risks management specialist role to someone who would be interested? How would you go about, why would someone want to go as and become a cyber risk management specialist versus another role? Could you give us a bit of a rundown on that?
Yeah, of course. I think cyber risk management is very closely aligned to your normal risk management in any type of company, right? I think to be able to do the cyber risk side of it, you need to understand first fundamentally what risk management is, how a risk management framework works, and all the different elements that kind of feed into risk management. And the cyber side of it is more of that, like the cybersecurity side. So if you think with your cyber lens, like what do I need to know? What are the biggest threats out there? And I think very specific. So if, you know, I was pitching this role for a specific industry, then you would be thinking about, okay, in this industry, I'd be thinking about XYZ risks. And do you have experience in that? If not, that's okay. You've got like the basis risk management experience, and you can always learn about the cyber side of it very quickly as well. Usually people who, like I've said, are interested, they can pick up on that stuff so easily. I have someone in my team who I hired, and this person didn't even come from an IT or cyber experience or world. They were actually a completely different industry in childcare, and he studied cybersecurity, did a master's in it, and now he's so good at his job. He's amazing. He picked up on things very quickly, and that's because I noticed like he has such a passion and an interest, and I knew that he would want to learn and he would want to continue learning and grow within the role. So I think anyone can really adapt to it, but you do need to have that first, that foundational knowledge and understanding of what risk management is, what it means to a company, because it is like the fundamental foundation of every company's based off of risk management. Yeah, it's just like 101. People and companies don't make decisions just for the sake of it. They're using risk management to do that. It is a very important part of any business.
Okay. And is the, when you mention about these, the risk and understanding the content, is the specific issues and challenges that you face on a daily basis generally consistent, or are they generally very varied in the difficulty and the actual complexity of the issues?
Yeah, I would say it's not really the same every day. it is definitely different, and the complexities and the different challenges would depend on each customer. It would depend on what they're trying to achieve by, you know, assessing a vendor, or what their risk appetite is and how they approach certain vendors as well. We've had some customers in the past where we found data leaks on certain vendors for them. And in those instances, we worked together with the vendor and customer. And in other instances, it didn't really go as smoothly as we thought. It really depends on the outcome and what you're trying to get. A lot of our other customers, we have one specific customer who will use these assessments to help them with renegotiating contracts, for example. It really depends on the purpose and what that company is trying to achieve.
Okay. And the skills then required for this kind of role, would you say that it's a lot more of an all-rounder? So you'd have to have, of course, the analytical, being able to analyze a customer, and then you also have to have the social side where you make sort of contact with the customers, or is it more online and like one, are they more separated, or they're all integrated into one role?
Yeah, so it's generally, I'd say it's integrated, because you have to be able to manage your customers and also your vendors as well. So you are like that main contact person in between the customer and the vendor, and also between you and the customer. And we not only have to make sure that their experience with us is good in terms of the managed service, but also within the platform, right? Because essentially we're using the platform to push the work and to get the work done. So there's a couple of different elements there that integrate all together. Yeah, I would say it's definitely almost like an all-rounder. I would say you need to have that risk management expertise. Obviously, cybersecurity and the technology side is very nice to have. I wouldn't say it's 100% required, but that also depends on the level of the candidate. So what type of candidate you're looking for. If it's a more junior role, then obviously you're not going to expect them to have 8 years experience. But if it's more like a senior role, then yes, I would expect them to have that cyber side as well. But if it's more of a junior, we're generally more than happy to take on people who don't have the cybersecurity experience, but have that general knowledge around risk management. But even if it's a grad position, obviously you're not going to have experience, but how we would interview you would be different. And the type of person we're looking for would be someone where there's the passion, there's the interest, they've done the homework, they know something about our company, they have specific questions targeted maybe towards me and also the company. Doing your research on the people that are interviewing you also helps, and it makes a huge difference during the process.
Very proactive. They're very proactive. Yeah, okay. Definitely. And switching gears a little bit about the industry as a whole, being in the risk and the cyber risk field, how do you see that specific industry and role evolving over the next sort of decade, would you say?
I think, look, over the next decade, it's a long time. I feel like so much is going to change. I feel like if anything, this particular part of cybersecurity is going to explode. I think it's just going to get bigger and more important in a way. We currently have so many different regulations, so many different compliance requirements all over the world. You've got Australia's ones, like you've got the Privacy Act, you've got APRA for the financial services industry, and then you've got all the ones overseas, like you've got GDPR for Europe. You've got CCPA that's just for California. So like in USA, like all the states have their own thing as well. I think this area is just going to boom even more. I think it's just the beginning, which is why you will see there's a struggle of finding resources in this space at the moment. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if anything, I see it getting bigger. I see it getting better, because you know, I think we need to do something as a community almost to make performing these assessments and almost like being able to assess vendors off of maybe one standard rather than having 50 different ones that everyone uses, to make life a little bit easier for both parties, both the customer and the vendor. I think maybe in 10 years we might get to something where it's like you know, one standard way of assessing vendors where it's like a pool of different questions, like different questions or ways to assess vendors that you pick from depending on the scope of how you're going to use that vendor and stuff. That's what I think in the next 10 years, this space. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Would you ever consider, would it ever be possible for any sort of technology to actually fulfill that job? Or it feels pretty complex that technology wouldn't be able to do that. In some ways, people always ask, people were initially doing this service and then technology managed to overcome and do that role. But it doesn't sound like this is going to be the case here, is it?
Probably not in the near future. If we're talking next 5 years, no. Maybe in 10 years, if companies can figure out how to use AI properly, potentially, but it would be a very, very difficult way to do it. Like it would just be so intricate. Mm-hmm. It would almost be like you'd have set strategies that you would pick from to assess your vendors, and you wouldn't be able to customize it too much, because then obviously over customization makes it even more difficult, and the longevity of that is not very, it's not very good. So yeah, I feel like it's almost impossible. Definitely not anytime soon. There's obviously companies like us and other companies who have these questionnaires and question bases that they've figured out and mapped towards all the different standards and frameworks. There'll be more of those that pop up. But in terms of replacing people, job elements out of it, I don't really see that happening. I think that would be quite challenging. Something maybe more than 10 years.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Totally.
I think so.
Totally fair. It's nice to hear. Because
yeah.
You definitely have a lot of people in the universities going, oh, I don't want somebody to go into industry and then work 5 years and then suddenly a more efficient way has been created, which
yep.
makes me redundant. So, but like you said, I think the cybersecurity, I agree with you, is completely and utterly growing and expanding, and it's going to continue doing that as more things become reliant on the online systems and networks. It is a very expansive and engaging area to be in. So it's been really refreshing in that sense. Is there anything else you would like to say to wrap up? Is there any life lessons and tips, other tips that you would like to provide wisdom on the young adults?
Yeah, of course. Look, I think going back to your comment about, you know, in 5 years, will this job be around situation? Honestly, I wouldn't even think of that too much. I would just look at the opportunities that come to you as they come and make sure you continuously learn. I think that's the most important thing, because if you stop learning, then you will be pushed to the side and you will just be another book on the shelf. Yeah, and that's where your role might be made redundant. So if you're, you know, awake and you're alive and you're reading, listening, you're voicing your opinion and you're learning and you're understanding what's changing, you'll be able to get in the front foot of anything that might make your job redundant. Don't wait 5 years. Make sure you're keeping up to date with everything and move around. There's nothing wrong with moving around in the company that you even get the initial job in. I think, you know, if anything, your employer would like you to stay and move around in the company, then leave and go somewhere else. There's always that opportunity. Don't ever think that you don't have opportunity where you are. And yeah, just get out there, build connections, build your network, because you know what? That's how you will get your next opportunity. And that's pretty much how I've gotten my last maybe, what, like three, four opportunities. So you never know, right? You just have to build that network, because that's going to take you really far.
And that's a great way to end it. It's amazing advice. Thank you so much, Tuna, for coming on and sharing your experience with us today.
That's okay. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This has been another KBI Media production.